Praat Nederlands met me. Talk Dutch to me. This is the podcast from Dutch for Children. A podcast about the pain, humor and fun of learning Dutch for expat kids. I'm your host, Wendy van Dalen, and I'm the founder of the online Dutch language school for children. I'm a language expert and I'm an expat and repat myself. We are lucky today to have an author joining us in our weekly podcast about learning Dutch. Spreek Nederlands met me. I'm Wendy van Dalen, your host, and today Max Kudoot will be with me in this interview. He's a teacher since 2013 with three goals for his students: speak naturally without thinking, understand natives, and integrate in the Netherlands. And to top this off, he wrote a book, New in Rotterdam. Max himself is a multilingual and a Rotterdammer as well. Welcome, Max. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Me, as a real Dutch repat, I'm curious about the weather in Spain at the moment, because it has been strange, to say the least.
Yeah, horrible. Now, right now, the sun is gone for a little bit, which is special, because the sun is here the whole time.
Yes.
And yesterday I almost burned.
And what about the rains? Did they bother you, or?
Yeah, a little bit. So it was raining for almost 4 days straight here in the south of Spain. Mm-hmm. And usually there's a lot of problems with lack of water here, actually. So it was very strange for everyone. And people also don't know what to do if it rains. So no. They stay inside. They even keep their dogs inside.
Exactly.
And our ceiling was leaking a little bit. Ooh. But nothing dangerous here. So
glad to hear that. Now, here in Rijswijk, it's very gray and chilly, but we're fine. Mm-hmm. We're inside doing this interview. So let's start with the questions, Max, if you're ready.
I was born ready.
What made you want to become a teacher 10 years ago for, international students?
Mainly my love for languages in general, I think. Or actually the love for the Dutch language, because then I only spoke Dutch and English. Like every young Dutch person, English never feels as a language you have to learn, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just around you all the time. But then I always wrote poems and other things. So I was like, maybe I can help other people enjoy doing that as well.
That's great. Love that. What kind of students have joined your lessons or are joining now at the moment?
At the moment, it's a lot of expats, young expat people. So people who speak English and are more or less between 25 and 40 years of age. So a lot of very young people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before, I was not necessarily organizing classes and that the students were coming to me, but I was coming to them.
Okay.
So I went on my bicycle through Rotterdam.
Oh, yes.
Going from company to company.
Yes.
To teach expats and also to primary schools. And there I was not teaching the children, actually.
No.
But I was teaching their mothers. Yeah. And they always want to achieve exactly those three things. They want to learn Dutch naturally.
Yes.
And with them, I mean, they are usually low educated foreign mothers who don't speak any English at all.
Mm-hmm.
And their children had lots of issues with the Dutch language at school, mainly because they were not using it at home.
Okay.
So So those mothers, they dropped off their children and then went to the little area at the side of the school.
Yes.
And we had coffee and did lots of Dutch there at the same time that their children were having classes, right? Yeah, sounds it was great. Really great.
Yeah.
It was paid by the Ayuntamiento, the municipality of Rotterdam. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Really
the
nice.
Gemeente. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And if you could choose, or maybe you don't want to choose, but what kind of students do you like the most? Students you have now, the moms, or?
Yeah, sorry for my politically correct answer, but I like the mix. really, because you see, what I don't like about only teaching expats is that they're all very smart.
So yes, they are.
Those mothers, it's not the case at all for them. They need Dutch in order to communicate. So actually, they're communicative, but they use their children as translators all the time.
Translators, yeah.
And that's quite bad for the children. So they really need me or another teacher in order to, let's say, survive in society, because otherwise they will never find a job because they cannot do it themselves. They don't understand the culture, so they end up in very strange situations sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I felt...
It's a great group to help, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as more than a teacher, I felt like an educator in general, you know, as in opvoeding, right? Like opvoeder and also an onderwijzer, both of them.
Both roles. Okay. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. How was your teaching approach? Did it evolve over the years and with the change in the mix of students?
And I thought about it a lot because it's changed really a lot. So in the beginning, I would say I was a very traditional teacher.
Yes.
So using textbook dialogues, explaining grammar rules, then doing exercises to integrate those grammar rules into the brains of the students. You know, this method.
Yeah.
And it works. So then it's very easy to conclude that you don't need to change anything because you're doing something, the people learn Dutch, so it works, right?
Right.
But then I learned a few languages myself, starting with Spanish, and I noticed that actually it doesn't work like that at all. So then I also changed my methods accordingly.
Exactly.
Yeah, so basically it went from very traditional grammar instruction to very modern, let's say. A more natural approach.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah, so lots of story learning, lots of games, very communicative style.
Yeah.
And very little grammar instruction. I still do it because it's not
some
bad.
Some grammar you need, yeah, of course, yeah.
Some grammar you need, yeah. And especially for the expats, grammar instruction really helps at the right moment. But you won't learn the language from grammar. Yes, because your Spanish sounds great.
We spoke a little bit of Spanish before we started for the listeners. That's because I lived in total 7 years in countries where Spanish was spoken.
Okay, and how did you learn it then, if I may ask?
How,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the best part I learned in Madrid, Spain, when we went there as a family, as an expat family. And my youngest was 6 months. And my eldest now, he was born there. And they didn't speak any English. So I had some lessons before because we lived in the Caribbean. We had like a quick course before we went. And I thought, okay, I have a good starting point. And then I was around the house and I never forget. Somebody came in the garden to check the sprinklers. And he started talking to me and asking me questions. And I was, hold on, please. My husband called and I said to him, sorry, we did move to Spain, didn't we? I feel like he's talking Chinese to me. So,
And about the sprinklers, right? Or not? About
sorry?
He was asking questions about the sprinklers, I think, right?
Yeah.
Because that's very specific vocabulary.
Yeah, but also the way he spoke, the speed, etc. And I was like overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh. That was a funny point. That was my starting point. And from that point on, I just tried to integrate as much as possible because everybody spoke Spanish. It was ideal. So
ideal situation, yeah. Still, there's so many people who are in this situation just like that. And never learn Spanish, right?
No, this is true. Well, your way of teaching, I love it. Of course, you know a little bit about Dutch for children, my listeners as well. We teach tailor-made and we look at the child and the motivation and the language they already have. And we use this in the classes as well. And of course, we also have to use a little bit of grammar because otherwise it won't work when they get older. But still, I love the way you... changed your way of teaching. And I think a lot of people would agree that the more lessons are natural and practical that you can use it immediately in your life, this helps a lot. And your languages, which one are they and where did you learn them, Max?
Yes, so Dutch and English I grew up with.
Yes.
And I studied philosophy as well in English. So that's when my English got to a proficient level, I would say. And then later I became for 1 year Cambridge English speaking examiner as well in Rotterdam. Only for 1 year. That was great. Yeah, I met my girlfriend, and for her, I started actually doing what I already wanted to do for a long time, and that's learn a new language. So I learned Spanish.
Yes.
Mainly by reading and listening to stories.
Mm-hmm.
But also I had some classes. I moved to Guatemala and the Canary Islands.
Right.
And then one time.
Yes.
I was living in a yoga center.
Uh-huh.
At the slope of a volcano.
Okay. Wow.
Next to a lake. And there was a retreat organized there.
Yes.
And I was working there at the reception. And then COVID happened, basically right in the middle of that retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the first COVID patients were discovered in Guatemala as one of the very last countries in the world. So all those people that were doing the retreat were mostly from the United States. They couldn't go back to their country anymore.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So suddenly we were all locked up and we couldn't leave.
No.
So there I started doing two things that I'm still doing now. And that is the Guatemaltecas. So three girls that were working there, they suddenly lost their jobs. So I decided to teach them English right there.
Right.
And because there were no textbooks and no deliveries, because everything had stopped.
Off. Yeah.
I had to write my own stories to teach them. So I started writing English stories to teach them in Spanish. And also because I had so much time and nothing to do, I thought I'm also going to learn German.
Oh, wow. Because? Which reason?
Just because, to keep myself sane. Because there was nothing to do. We were inside this place the whole day and we couldn't go out. So I just decided I'm going to try and use this time to just get at it.
Yeah.
And so I started learning German, teaching Spanish, teaching English in Spanish.
Amazing.
So three languages at the same time, just juggling with them.
Yes.
And that's basically how it started. And there I found out that I really loved it. And later I moved to Spain to live with my girlfriend. And there I started with French. And then moving back to the Netherlands, I'm conversational in those five languages.
Yes.
But German and French is definitely not as good as Dutch, English, and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, let's take it to the next level. And I thought, I would like to really find a challenge. So since then until now, I'm learning Persian, Farsi.
Wow.
So the language of Iran. And it's really hard.
Different level, yeah.
And so those are the six languages. And I'm going to try and learn them until I'm fully fluent in all of them. So I won't start anything new for now.
I understand. But doing this, your knowledge of learning new languages must be enormous. And how do you use your experience in your lessons learning Dutch?
Nice. I was really waiting for someone to ask me that.
Here it is.
Nice. Well, yeah, and definitely two main ways. So the first one is obvious, I think, that if there's a student in the class from the language I know, that speaks the language I know, sometimes I translate a word into their language. So if there's an Iranian student that doesn't speak English very well, I just help them translating a word into Farsi sometimes. But also the other way around, sometimes they speak Dutch, but I hear that they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand where these mistakes come from, usually.
Yeah.
Right? So let's see if I can find an example. Right, so you'll say the typical Spanish speaker in English, for example,
yes,
always say like the people has go there, something like that, because the people, la gente, in Spanish you can use it as a third person in the sentence, right? So you can say la gente es or la gente está, but in English you cannot, right? So
no,
I immediately understand why.
Yeah,
you have to make it plural, because so that's one example, and it happens all the time. or for example, also the pronunciation in Farsi and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
So in the language from Iran and the language from Holland, the A and the A,
mm-hmm.
so A, A, they're switched around.
Oh,
so
reversed.
For example,
yeah,
reversed. So if, for example, man in mm-hmm. in Farsi, it means I, man. And you can hear a very short, open A, right? Man.
Okay. Yeah.
Which means I. But they say Farsi with A. Farsi.
Or, okay, wow.
So when they speak Dutch, they will always say, ik kom van Iran. So then it really helps to show them, well, this letter, we pronounce it like this letter in Dutch, and I just write it on the board, and they grasp it immediately.
That's great. So, that's great, Max. Wow. Do you feel that learning Dutch helps expats connect better with their with the community in the Netherlands? Or is it very separated in Rotterdam, for example?
Yes, it helps in every aspect, can I say. It helps. It's mm-hmm. the most important thing if you want to connect with the country is the language.
Yeah. Are there, like say, unique opportunities or events in Rotterdam and the area that you encourage your students to attend or to try to go to and interact and communicate? Or are you not that kind of the opvoeder in this way?
Yes, definitely. You mean language events?
Yeah, or cultural events that you think, okay, this is a nice setting to practice your Dutch.
Oh, yeah. So first for the language events, definitely walk and talk.
Walk and talk. Okay, yeah.
It's amazing. So you just write it as you say it, walk and talk with this.
Yes.
And you can go there. It's a couple of days a week,
mm-hmm.
every week. I think Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. And you just walk with a Dutch speaker who wants to practice or talking in Dutch to foreigners. So they want to get to know more foreigners. Or sometimes it's also a language exchange. So you speak your native language, they speak Dutch.
Okay.
Exactly. And you walk through the city. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Then there's also all kinds of language cafes. So if you just Google language cafe Rotterdam, you'll find all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a wijkpaleis. The okay. Wijkpaleizen.
No, I will put these things in the show notes. Don't worry with the links.
Oh, okay, yeah. At Wijkpaleis. So a Wijkpaleis is a place of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The idea is that people from the same neighborhood go there to do multiple things, to meet each other, to eat together. Sometimes there's also workshops.
Okay.
So famous one is, for example, the repair workshop. So you can go there with something that's broken and then mm-hmm. you repair it all together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these are places usually where a lot of people come that are not Dutch and don't speak English.
Okay.
So you can communicate them with them only in Dutch, and that's what you yes. want, right?
Yes, yeah, that is what you are looking for, yeah. And do you find that the Dutch locals are supportive of expat learning the language?
I think so, yes.
Yes?
Most people would say no, I guess, right?
Well, in the Hagen area, a lot of people complain to me that everybody speaks English. And
what do you think about that complaint, if I may ask?
Yeah, I think you have to be very persistent in explaining to the people you talk to that you want to practice your Dutch. But it can mm-hmm. be hard for some people. Also, culture-wise, I'm very open and direct, but I'm a Dutch woman. And we are direct and are used to speak out, and some cultures are not, so they want to be polite. And also there are Dutch people like everywhere in the world. I had the same in the Dominican Republic, for example. Their Spanish is different, mm-hmm. and when I told them very persistent that I really wanted to practice my Spanish, they would say mm-hmm. yeah, but I would like to practice my English.
So, yes,
there you go.
Yes, yes.
So I understand both sides.
How did you do it in the end? How did you manage to practice?
I got better.
Just got
no,
better?
No, I just radio, newspapers, help around the house, groceries, etc. Everything. I just kept on going. And if I were on an event if there's something and people would say, okay, I love to speak English. I didn't mind. We did it in English and then later on we switched again. So yeah. But in the beginning, yes. It was sometimes no, I really want to do my Spanish.
Yeah. Well, I just what you said would be also my advice to people who want to practice. That first of all, I would like to say that it's not a responsibility of the Dutch people to practice with you.
No, it isn't.
Right? True. It sounds a little bit hard, but in the end, you are responsible for the learning process of, mm-hmm. of Dutch. Then it's great to practice whenever you can. It definitely helps.
Yeah.
Only the bulk of your language learning happens when you read and when you listen. Exactly. Right? So
right.
When you watch films, when you read books, when you go to classes. So I think you should focus on that.
Yes.
Because when you get good enough, mm-hmm. people don't switch anymore, right? We really like speaking Dutch with foreigners.
True. I'm very curious. Are there some really Dutch things that students find particularly surprising or difficult to adjust to? And this is more culture-wise, I think, than language-wise, but maybe language-wise as well.
Oh, yes. So of what I already noticed that nobody understands is that when we celebrate Sinterklaas,
yes,
the food is not important. Right?
Okay.
Isn't it? Because
pepernoten, chocolate. Right.
Yes, the snacks. Yes, exactly. No, but exactly that. What I notice is that when I tell my girlfriend and all her friends in Spain, and then I'm going to wait Sinterklaas. It's like, oh, great. What do you eat with Sinterklaas? And I say, paper notes, chocolate, letters. And they say, okay. And then what do you eat?
Oh, amazing.
And I tell them, well, it's not about that. We write poems and we have presents and we sing songs. And and that's it, you know. We just eat. In my family, we eat 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then we'll go back to the presents.
To the present,
And the poems, yeah.
Yeah, or we combine it with gourmet. That's what we do.
Oh, great also.
Also very Dutch.
Very Dutch.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and about the language, some words that they find incredible, strange, like the most heard one is like gezellig. What is gezellig, you know?
Right.
But do you have other examples?
Mm-hmm. So actually, the English word cookie comes from the Dutch word koekjes.
Ja, geweldig. Yeah.
Which I think is quite interesting. So not all English words, or not all Dutch words, not all English Dutch words come from English. Sometimes it's the other way around, right?
Interesting, yes.
So as a proud Dutch teacher, we should mention that. So butt cheeks cookie is what it means.
Yeah.
Which means maybe that if you hit somebody really hard on the back, that then there's a kind of a cookie of
clear, Max.
Yes, right? It's okay. Let's stop there. Yeah.
In your opinion, how important is it for Dutch children to also learn other languages? I know you don't teach children, but you've been around families and mothers. So I wanted to know what you think about that. Dutch children do get a little bit of English, depends on the school when they start. But I think it's that until they move to the secondary education and then the other languages come. What's your opinion about this?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of experience with children as well. Or quite a lot, actually. I was a high school teacher, Dutch teacher for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
For teenagers, so between 12 and 14 years. And then 1 year I was an English teacher in Spain.
Yes.
And I had some classes also of children the whole year. So one full-time year.
Yeah.
They were 9 years old, 11, and also the teenagers. So 12 to 16 again. Mm-hmm. And you mean the difference between the children and the adults, right?
No, I was just wondering if of course you find it important, but how do you see this Because a lot of expat parents tell me from, oh, your children, your Dutch children, she means by that, they are so already multilingual, educated, and wondering what's your opinion about that. You've been teaching.
Oh, like that. Yes, I think it's very important to at least know one other language from a very early age onward. Yes. Of course, for anyone outside of the Anglo-Saxon world, it makes a lot of sense to learn English, right?
Right.
And then for the Americans and the English people, I think it makes a lot of sense to learn another world language from the beginning. And I think a lot of schools in America, they teach Spanish, right?
Yes.
I think. And in Great Britain, I think it's a lot of French as well, and also some Spanish.
Yes,
and I think that's great. I think it's very important, mainly because you need to get out of your bubble to understand the world. If you want to understand the culture, the language is the vehicle to get there. So it makes so much sense to do it from the beginning, because a language is much more than just words for the same things, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of words in every language for things that don't exist in your own language. So one example that I really like is siblings,
mm-hmm.
right? In English, we say, you can say siblings, but in Dutch, we have to talk about brothers and sisters.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
And that changes a lot about your way of thinking about family, because you might conclude that brothers and sisters are two very different things, right?
Exactly. So is
or something like that.
Yeah, another perspective on the whole family concept,
yeah.
Actually, you know.
That's why it's very important for children, I think, to show them from the beginning that there's different ways to think about things,
yeah,
and to talk about things.
It will enrich you in any way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice talking about you with all those about all those topics. Like, you're very enthusiastic and also very experienced with all these things.
Thank you.
The last part of our interview, I would love to talk about your book. It's new in Rotterdam, and I can say to the listeners, it's impressive. We are using it within Dutch for Children for our teens who learn Dutch as a second language or a third language. And the comments that we get is like, finally, a normal book and not a children's book. We use it as an extra reading source, but the book can teach an adult Dutch. Please explain.
So the subtitle is Learn Dutch with this novel for beginners.
Yes.
Or the Dutch novel for all beginners. And that's the idea. So what I notice is that there's a lot of great books to read if you're already high level.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of amazing textbooks with dialogues that are very useful. So there's useful books and then there's fun books. And there's a big gap between them, right?
Right.
So I thought, maybe, why don't I put those two together? And then I put all the advantages of a textbook into the story,
mm-hmm.
so that if people read, they don't, without noticing, they're actually learning everything that you would normally read in a course.
Wow. So just to get a concrete picture for me, did you put a textbook, which you like, for example, with mm-hmm. all the explanation, and you think about a story like you did in your COVID time, and mm-hmm. then how? How did you mix it?
It's a big puzzle. Yeah. So what I did is I wanted everything that's in a textbook, I wanted to be in the book, except for exercises, right? So
yes.
I wanted the build-up to be in there. So I wanted the story to get gradually more complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that both with the vocabulary and the grammar.
Yes.
So I wanted, just as a textbook dialogue, usually they use the present tense. They use only non-reflexive, non-separable verbs, so the normal verbs. They only use words that we use all the time. So the most basic words, like you, me, big, small, red, blue.
Hello, bye.
Hello, bye. How are you? Good, yes. Bad. So I basically made lists and whole schedules.
Yes.
Schemes, let's say, of all those things.
Yes.
And then I wrote a story with it.
Yes.
A real story about expats coming to the Netherlands, right?
And that's great for your target group, your main students. They're young expats living in Rotterdam. Impressed by how you did that. How long did it take you in total to put this together, you know?
2 years.
what kind of feedback did you receive from your students? You received feedback from me, but your students, what do they think?
Yes. Yes, and I get a lot of positive feedback from students, so I'll go with that first. I'm now teaching people from Iran a lot.
Yeah.
Because they've heard that I speak Persian, they think, why? I'm going to talk to this guy.
Yeah, this guy is the one. Yes.
Yes. And of course, the classes are in Dutch, so we don't speak any Persian, but the book is about a Persian man coming to Rotterdam. And there's also some jokes in there that only people from Iran really understand.
Oh, so, that's a detail I didn't know.
Yes, yes. A couple of things that Iranian people always say. So, for example, there's always this idea in Iran that pizza is not from Italy, but that the base for pizza is from Iran.
Okay. And
it's only partly true, mm-hmm. But people from Iran love to say that, right? They really like this cultural element.
Yes.
So that part. Then I also noticed that the first part for students is very easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
So they really like that they can read a real story and don't struggle.
Is it still free, Max?
It's free, yeah.
It's unbelievable. I will put the link in the show notes. But that's so kind, so nice of you. Because
thank you.
Yeah, everybody can listen. Love that.
Yes, I did it for two reasons. First of all, I thought I want everyone to listen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also the people that cannot buy the book.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I thought also, if the people want the book, then the best way is to give them a lot of free stuff. Then they see that it's really a good story.
Yeah.
And then if they like it, they can just buy the book wherever they want, like Amazon or bol.com.
Yeah, and of course, I'm wondering, do you have any tips for teachers or parents using New in Rotterdam with teens?
With teens?
Yeah, especially if they're still developing their language skills.
Yes, specifically for teens, first, I would say, I think it's really great to talk about a few topics
mm-hmm.
that the main characters of the book are also talking about.
Yes.
So Ben and Reza, Ben from England, Reza from Iran, they are very different.
Yes.
And those topics are very modern topics that are very important right now for teens. And also for us, but for example, lots of teens are talking about climate change because it's their life that's on the line, right? Not
that's
ours.
That's on the line, yes.
And one of them, Ben, in the book is really dealing a lot with climate change. And the other one, Reza, doesn't really care. So that's a great conversation starter, I would say, for teens.
For teens, yeah.
And then another thing that has to do with it a little bit is being vegetarian or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also smoking cigarettes or not.
And that's what I like about the book. All those themes are very today, you know, 2024. And even if it's written in before that, but it's like now they're dealing with those topics. This is part of their lives.
So what I tried, I didn't discuss all of that in the book. But there are some elements of it in the book.
Yes.
And those, I think, for teens are great conversation starters. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's like I say, you have to read it. Start with the free audiobook and you'll be convinced. I will put the link in the show notes.
Thank you.
We're going slowly to the end of our time, and I would like to close with how do you see the future of Dutch language teaching evolving for young learners like your students and young learners like Dutch for Children students?
Oh, very interesting. I can say that I'm the first one in the world.
In the world?
Yes, I think it's really true. So if you're listening
to this...
Must
be mind-blowing for you.
It's crazy because I can still not believe it. So if somebody's listening right now and finds a book like that, then please let me know. And I will send you a free book.
Yeah.
Please let me know. But until then, I will say that I'm the first one ever. So I'm translating the book now.
Oh,
into,
great.
I hope in 2025 to have an English, Spanish, French, German and Persian version. So part of the future for language learning is this book, of course.
Is your books. Well, thank you so much, Max, for joining us today, sharing your insights. It's been really inspiring to hear about your journey as a teacher and author, and about all the ways you help students connect, not only with the Dutch language, but also with our culture and themes that are actual going on in the lives of your students. I think your fun shines through everything. You're so motivated, and for me, it's amazing.
Thank you for having me and all the interest you showed me.
Yeah, thank you as well. And to our listeners, we hope you found this conversation as enriching as we did, whether you're just starting your Dutch journey or supporting your child. And remember that language learning is a bridge to new communities, new opportunities, and as Max has shown us, to feeling right at home in a new place. Thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. Join us next time as we continue exploring the world of learning Dutch, sharing stories, tips and insights to support you and your family along the way. Tot de volgende keer. Until next time.